listening to the All About Symbian podcast with myself, Ewan Spence, and joining me today, Steve Litchfield. And as always, you can leave your comments on the podcast at www.allaboutsymbian.com under the media section. Right, what have we got today? Well, later on, Steve's going to be talking to us about the E90, but I wanted to do a talk and start off talking about mobile gaming and the fact that it seems to currently be sort of, you know, not forgotten fully, but we're in this sort of calm period because we all know, basically, as Nokia have told us, that a games device will be coming along at some point in the year, and it's very likely that it will continue to be the N-Gage brand. Now, this is, I think, pretty important, first of all, because games actually sell. There's a constant churn of games applications through the All About Symbian store. While people can sit there and do their password applicators and fly fishing guides and mobile offices, it's always the games that, not necessarily just the games at $5, but the games at a higher price that are consistently getting bought, that are consistently being reasonably high in the charts. It's, okay, lots of people will buy an office suite for $40 or $50 one-off, but lots of people will continue to buy games at $5, you know, maybe once or twice a month. And I think that's a pretty healthy for the ecosystem. It's pretty good for the third-party developer as well. Certainly when I was doing developing, I would tend to do a mix of games and real applications. Admittedly, they were all freeware. But, you know, it's also much more fun to program game as an author as well. But I really like that. But what's intriguing me, first of all, is I'm fully expecting a huge, massive media backlash because the N-Gage only sold 3 million devices, which I think is quite a healthy number. Can you compare that fully to 24, 25 million sales of the PSP and the Nintendo DS? Well, I'm sure the media will. But let's not forget that, you know, Nokia have probably sold that many games machines already in the N-series devices and the other high-spec mobile phones. Those phones will probably run the games as well. I don't think we're going to have the mistake which we had with the original N-Gage Taco phone and the N-Gage QD, which is just one of the Series 60s will play the big high-end games. I do think that we're going to have a lot more playing the games this time as well. And I've pulled out some interesting numbers here, comparing the PSP to the N95. Screen size, so it's about 480 by 276 in the PSP. Series 60, slightly smaller, 320 by 240, but that's the same size as the video iPod. And processor, PSP will run at 200-odd or 300-odd megahertz. It'll switch down to 200 for the sort of system screen and the basic stuff, and then switch up to the higher speed for the games. For all intents and purposes, the N95 does that as well. Runs at 206 or 330, depending on the application. Built-in memory, PSP, 32 meg. N95, once you've got everything up and running, about 20 meg. Now, big flag up there, the PSP really only runs single-threaded applications. When you have the web browser and you jump out to go to the MP3 player, the web browser will close. Sort of like the Palm OS model, where is the N95 can keep everything running in the background. But if you were to exit every application on an N95, as you do in the PSP, you would keep up with the reasonable memory. Similarity. Extending memory, PSP at the moment will take up to a 4GB memory stick from Sony. N95 will quite happily take microSD, currently running up to 2GB. Wouldn't be surprised to see 4GB coming along very soon as well. So in terms of specs, processor power and oomph, the PSP and the N95s are incredibly close. Certainly the N95 is much closer to the PSP than it is towards the DS. What's missing is it's currently small publishers and homebrew that are making a lot of work in Series 60. There's no big games, massive manufacturers. But then when you look back at the Nokia N-Gage, you had titles that really were big games. You had The Sims, you had Lara Croft, you had Warhammer 40,000, you know. These haven't been seen yet in Series 60, but I'm pretty sure, you know, given the lead time of these games is usually about 18 months, that they will be working on for a launch later on in the year. Now, the fact that Nokia have preceded the environment, and they can turn around and say, well, all everyone who's got an N95 or an N70 or any N93 or any of those can all play these games. We've preceded. We've already sold. We'd be surprised if they're able to say 30 or 40 million gaming-capable mobile phones or they're not going to call it gaming. They're probably going to call it next generation gaming. That was their slogan. The next generation mobile phone. We've already sold more than the PSP. It's up to people if they want to buy the games. It's an interesting strategy if that's what they're doing. And I suspect that's that the APIs are already lurking. And I'm looking forward to that with interest. The stealth game console selling from Espoo. Very, very intriguing. Now, other things that are intriguing, things that amuse you, over to Steve Litchfield now, and I asked Steve, you know, come up with something this week about what's been amusing you.
Yes, you and I've been finding it quite amusing to watch people across the internet bitching about the size of the Nokia E90 communicator, which I've been demoing on All About Symbian, and of which I got my own almost production unit this week. Back in the mid-1990s, we all carried around Silent Series 3 and Series 5 palm tops without ever considering that these were too big. I still remember the rush of excitement I got when receiving the very first Series 5 exactly 10 years ago, back in 1997, for the princely sum of £500, would you believe? The E90 is considerably smaller than the Nokia 9500, which in turn was smaller than the 9210, which in turn was smaller than the Series 5MX. And arguably even the Cyan Revo. And the E90 is far more robust, with twin colour displays, functionality that would have seemed like science fiction 10 years ago, and people are still complaining. But look how far we've come. When the Cyan and Palm were king of the heap, the main applications were the big four: contacts, calendar, to-do and notes, with Word and Sheet thrown in on the Cyan. And we were basically happy. With the advent of infrared-compatible mobiles, we then started connecting these devices to our ISPs to do basic email collection over dial-up and even very limited web browsing. But that was about it. If you wanted to take a photo, you'd reach for a camera, and if you'd probably have to wait for a week for the prints to come back. If you wanted to play music, you'd reach for your cassette Walkman. And if you wanted to do any kind of moving map or limited navigation, you had to plug in a specially MacGyvered external GPS, in my case about 3 metres worth of wires, and spend a fortune on the kit and the software. Fast forward to today and the Nokia E90. In addition to all the things the Cyan Series 5MX, for example, could do, there's built-in GPS and mapping with voice-guided navigation only a few quid away, high-speed HS, DPA and Wi-Fi built-in, effectively giving you broadband speed in a lot of the Western world, with a web browser that's capable of rendering the vast majority of websites perfectly on an 800-pixel, gorgeous colour screen. Add in taking high-quality 3-megapixel photos, DVD-quality videos onto gigabytes of solid-state flash memory, and the scope of what the E90 can do compared to what the old Cyan and Palm organisers used to do for us is almost off the scale, in my opinion. Yes, I'll admit that hardened Cyaneers, as they like to call themselves — I still get a couple of calls a week from people still using Cyans — I'll admit that they have a point when they talk about how much they miss data, the flat file database that was the backbone of the old Cyan for many of us, if we're honest. Why, oh why, this wasn't ever officially ported to Symbian OS on the communicator range, I shall never know. In fact, a contact of mine at Symbian did produce a homebrew version of data for the 9210 from the original source code, but he was never allowed the official resources to polish it or release it. But let's not get distracted. If anyone's hankering after data on the E90 or any other Symbian smartphone, there are third-party equivalents to keep you happy. And in my opinion, effectively having a colour Cyan 5MX plus GPS, plus a camera, a camcorder, a music player, a phone, and a high-speed data connection all in one rugged device that's significantly smaller than the old Cyan is a big, big, big step forward. And I, for one, refuse to get bogged down in the past. I sold my last Palm and Cyans in 2003, deciding that smartphones were the way of the future, and hopefully heavily influencing the likes of Palm Top User and PDA Essentials magazines that I write for to switch directions in the process. The E90 is a natural evolution of everything that's been happening since David Potter first brought out his Organizer 1 in the late 1980s, as are the likes of the Sony Ericsson P1i and the Nokia E61i, which I know you love, Ewan. None of these devices are perfect, I keep saying that, but each device is a genuine step forward towards integrating all the aspects of our lives far more comprehensively than the palm tops of old did. And yes, I suspect I'm going to turn into something of an E90 bore over the next few months, but I make no apologies. This new communicator has set my imagination racing this week, like no other device for quite a long time. In fact, it could almost be 1997 all over again.
Thank you very much to Steve there. I wouldn't want it to be 1997 all over again. I would mean I would have to go back to carrying a Scion Series 5MX and a fixed cable through to a Nokia 5.1 to act as a modem and synchronize all my emails over that. Sounds remarkably like the new Palm Folio that was announced late last night, doesn't it? But this is all about Symbian. Okay, so next week we are going to be at the Global Messaging Forum in Monaco. All the big game players looking at the future of messaging, especially on the mobile platform. So we'll have a couple of interviews coming out from there. If you'd also have an idea for a short feature spot, maybe 5 or 6 minutes long, that you'd like to be in the podcast, then do drop us an email at All About Symbian and we'll get in touch with you. But for now, looking forward to reading your comments. Of course, they, as always, are over at allaboutsymbian.com. But until then, thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next show.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast. www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2006.